it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Western and Southern Financial Group. Put our financial strength behind you. Visit WesternSouthern.com.
Baseball present. Baseball past. Share some stories. Share some laughs. You're gonna have a blast if you listen to the Dindy Podcast.
Hey, 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 welcome into another edition of the Jim Day Podcast. However you're checking us out, thank you for the click, and please spread the word, subscribe, rate, review, all that jazz. We've got royalty here today, because the name Sabo in Reds country is huge, and none other than Annie Sabo, daughter of Chris Sabo, the three-time All-Star, the World Series champion, Spuds, legend, all of that. And now Annie Sabo, I can call colleague. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. I don't know if Sabo equals royalty, but you know, I'll take it.
And Reds country, Sabo is royalty. There are certain names that you could say Spuds, you could say Sabo, and I know exactly what you're talking about, Reds fans, so...
It's been nice having the name recognition a little bit here and there. I've been called Spuds a couple times.
Have you really?
I actually
have. That was
going to
be one of my questions.
Yeah. Believe it or not, yeah, I've been called Spuds a couple times. That is not, in fact, my nickname. Although, growing up, people did call me Sabo all growing up. No one ever called me Annie.
Really?
If someone calls me Annie, I'm not close friends with them.
Really? So it's just Sabo?
Yeah.
All right, Sabo. Thanks for joining us.
No problem. Sabo. Anytime.
They call you maybe Spudsette. How about Spudsette?
I think that sounds a little bit better. I feel like Spuds may be a bit too masculine.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Little Spuds.
Little Spud. Maybe that.
There we go. Now, we're fresh on the heels of you put your dad's goggles on Reds Live, which... What, they pulled out of the Reds Hall of Fame and Museum, right?
They did.
See, now you are royalty, because they're not going to just pull those out for anyone. Like, if I went in there and said, hey, can I put on the Chris Sabo goggles? They're going to say, Jim Day, get out of here.
No, I beg to differ. You are also royalty in Cincinnati. Yeah, they pulled them from the Reds Hall of Fame. My mom, I believe, donated those quite a few years ago from our house in Cincinnati. I made a bet on a podcast, said if the Reds won 5 games, I would don the rec spec. So I did just that on the air. Apparently, it went over well. I didn't realize how much or how big of a deal it was going to be, but lo and behold, it was a big deal. I did it on the air. My dad sent me a text post-game and said, they looked good. So all is well in the Sabo household.
I believe those were the second generation goggles, because I believe the first ones when he came up, I actually wore a pair of those when I was playing football. They're a little slightly different. Those were a little bigger.
Uh-huh.
I'm such a nerd that I remember these things. I don't know how I remember these things, but it happens.
I don't think I could play in those, though. I mean, growing up, I played tennis, and I could always wear a hat. But the glasses, I can't play anything in sunglasses. Don't like the feel of them. But, hey, I mean, I guess my dad did it with flying colors. So
yes, he did. And we're going to talk about what's it like being the daughter of Chris Sabo, which it has to be unique. We're going to get to that. But want to cover, you know, you first, obviously. Making your way to, you grew up in Cincinnati, correct? So
yep.
A lot of people may not know, like, okay, where'd she grow up? Is it Cincinnati?
Montgomery, right off of Zigzag Road, Stone Meadow Lane. That's where we grew up.
Very nice.
Yep.
So Cincinnati's in your blood. It's in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
But you are in Tampa now, right?
I am, right? Yep, moved
my
to Tampa.
My old stomping grounds.
I know. We have so much in common,
I
Jim
used to work. We do? I used to work in Tampa in the 90s. Were you even born then?
Yes. I was born a 92 kid. Wasn't born 90, but I relive the memories every so often.
Gotcha. And you are, your husband's a golfer, right?
Yep. So he is a golfer playing right now in the St. Louis area, believe it or not, as the Reds are going to play the Cardinals shortly here. But yeah, he's a golfer, not good at baseball by any means. But his last name, get this, is Roy, which stands for Rookie of the Year.
Yes,
my mother told me that a couple of weeks ago. So,
wow.
It all works out. A life come full circle moment.
So are you Annie Sable on the air? Or
yes.
And off the air, are you Annie Roy? Are you Annie Sable
Roy? I have two last names. Sabo Roy.
Sabo Roy. There
yep,
you go.
Yep.
I've never understood the thing where you have to change your last name when you get married. I'm always like, well, she should keep her identity. Whatever that is.
I call Annie Roy, though, my alter ego. That's not my real identity because I feel like I've been Annie Sabo for so, so long. I was invited to a wedding and I was asked, what should we put on your name card? And I was like, just put Annie Roy to make it easier for you. But yes, I mean, everyone calls me Annie Sabo. I mean, my husband, when they ask me my last name, he always says Sabo. So he doesn't really care. It's just who I am on the air versus off the air. Two completely different characters.
Well, am I allowed to call you Sabo? You said only people that know you well.
Right.
So we're just getting to know each other. So am I allowed to call you Sabo?
Yeah.
All right, Sabo.
Any coworkers can call me Sabo, for sure.
Well, how's this Reds Live thing going? You've got to work with the cantankerous Sam LaCure. I love you, Sam. He's been on this podcast a few times.
I listened to that one, believe it or not. No, but I mean, Reds Live is going great. I came from Minnesota covering the Twins for 2 years where it was next level cold. I mean, you guys think it gets cold here. I mean, I complained about the winters growing up here in Cincinnati, but Minnesota, next level cold. I was wearing a parka in June. I kid you not. So the weather was a bit much for me, and then I did Twins Live there, and then coming here to do Reds Live has just been, I don't know, a lot more fun just growing up here and having watched you when I was younger. Oh, and it's geez. I'm not trying to age you. I'm just trying to say I remember sitting at home and watching you on the air and just thinking, man, that guy's so cool. And I want to be just like him growing up.
You do not have to butter up the host. You're already on the show. You don't have to butter.
Just giving credit where credit's due. No, but no, Reds Live is going great. Working with Sam is, you know, different every single day. His energy is off the charts at all times, but he's been great to work with. I think we're both kind of newer in the industry in working pre- and post-game shows, so it's been a learning experience here and there. But no, I mean, no complaints. Life is good, and I'm happy.
And once in a while, you got to work with that jerk Chris Welsh, too.
He's bringing out all the stops. Through one pre-game show, we've had goggles, swim goggles on the air, and he even handed me a rose from a kid in the stands. So
wow.
I'm getting
what
gifts.
A gentleman.
Right.
What a gentleman Chris Welsh is. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's been awesome.
All right, so is baseball obviously in your blood? Some people have to, you know, because broadcasting, you move around a lot and you cover different. By the way, let me go back to this cold thing. I know all about this cold thing. I covered the NHL for 8 years. So not only did I go to Minnesota, I went to basically the North Pole, which is Edmonton, Calgary, Winnipeg, which they call Winterpeg. That might have been the coldest place ever. But Edmonton in January and February, balmy. So I know all about the different
I can't say I've been there, but I have no desire to ever go there.
It's like going to the North Pole.
Yeah, I'm not a big winter person, and having to take my dog out and slather Vaseline on my face in order to protect myself from windburn. That's what I did. I kid you not. I would go out in the morning, have about a million layers on in snow pants, and I would put Vaseline on my face because my face got so windburned. Couldn't go on the air with a chapped face.
Well, now you're down there in the paradise in Florida, which I lived and loved, and it was really hard. I worked in Tampa right before I came back to Ohio to work here, and goodness gracious, 22 years later, I'm still here. I'm sorry, folks. Like, they still put this on the air. I'm sorry. I apologize again. But I love it down there. You like living down there?
Oh, I love Tampa. I mean, yeah, we loved growing up here in Cincinnati. Like I said, the winter, we just couldn't do anymore. I'd probably still be here because, I mean, I think Cincinnati's a great place.
Yeah.
But do I like Tampa better because there is no winter? Yes. And it's just, it's grown so much since I first took a job there. I don't know, what is it, 5 years ago now? It seems like everyone's moving down there. And because everyone's moving down there, it's growing so much more. Restaurants, bars, whatever you want, they yeah. have it. So yeah, I do love living there. In the summers, obviously, it's blisteringly hot. Oh, I will not complain. So coming here to Cincinnati, it's been cooler, believe it or not. I know everyone's complaining about the heat this week. It's been, you know, in the 90s, but I'll be hot opposed to cold any day of the week.
No question. No doubt about it. I can't stand winter. I mean, I hate it. I hate it with yeah. a passion. I despise it. And I'm going to end up being a snowbird one day.
So everyone's goals.
I'm on my way. As I get older, I'm going to be everything I used to make fun of. I'm on my way to that.
Hey, I'm a snowbird for the most part, and I'm not even 30 yet. So commuting back and forth and everywhere.
Oh, there you go. This business has changed. There's so many more opportunities now for females in sports broadcasting. It's kind of a double-edged sword, though, because the opportunities are great, particularly the last 10 years, 5 years especially. Great, tremendous opportunities, but you guys got to put up with some BS too in the male-dominated world. I mean, let's just be honest about it. Most men are jerks. So it could be rough in that regard, could it not?
Yeah, I mean, to be completely honest with you, I have been blessed. I don't have that many terrible stories.
That's good.
So I will say that, but I feel like because there have been so many more opportunities for women over the last 10 years, mm-hmm. it's gotten that much more competitive, especially I would say over the course of the last 3 years. That translating to, you know what, there's 10 jobs, 100 people applying for those 10 jobs, whereas, you know, 5-10 years ago, maybe there was maybe 20 people applying for those 10 jobs. Right. So I feel like it's gotten even more competitive. But I mean, yeah, I mean, have I dealt with a lot of jerks? Of course I have. Of course I have. And it's not always been the easiest of careers, because I feel like sometimes in this industry, you're treated like you're disposable, right? Not like human beings at times. And so I feel like that's been a big challenge for me to overcome. It's very cutthroat. It's kind of like, for people who know nothing about it, I compare it to, you know, like acting or modeling. If you don't have a certain look or voice or whatever it may be, you're out.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's been a big challenge.
Yeah.
So far. I mean, granted, I've been doing this, what, for 7 years now? And I feel like it's gotten tougher and tougher each year. But I'm here right now, have a job, thankful to have a job, and yeah, we'll just keep climbing the ladder so I can be like you one day.
Oh my God. You'll probably be taking my job here soon. So you know, I'm just hanging on. People say, what are your goals? I'm like, stay employed. Like, everything else falls under that umbrella. I'm just, you know, I'm a middle-aged, dorky-looking dude.
And that's always the goal.
I know, but they don't hire me anymore.
Well, I mean,
they really don't. They don't hire me anymore. So
it's been tough to get hired by anyone in this day and age. But I get asked the same question. What are your goals? What's your dream job? And I'm like, I don't necessarily know, because I've been in a place where I've worked every single day and have had no freedom whatsoever and no time with friends and family. And that's just part of getting to where you are in this job. But at the same time, I don't necessarily want to do that all the time. I don't want to not see my family all the time. So I don't necessarily have a dream job or I don't have one particular goal. It's just kind of like being able to work, have fun, cover baseball, which is awesome, and then being able to actually see my husband and my siblings and hang out with my friends. That's kind of the goal. So I guess it's a work-life balance
goal. There you go. Yeah, I know. I never had the dream job. I'm probably one of the few people that never applied to ESPN. I have several friends that work there. I could have probably gotten a job there in some capacity. No interest. I don't know. I just love Cincinnati, Ohio. I love the Reds. And even though it's small potatoes compared to other national jobs, I don't know. I just stayed here.
I agree.
They kept hiring me and giving me different gigs.
So why would you ever leave? I think that's a big thing, too. From what I have a lot of friends in the industry, female friends in the industry, who are kind of at the same level, if you will, as I am. And it's kind of, we're considering, you know, do we go national? But that's even more cutthroat than what we're doing now. Man. It's very cutthroat, and you are extremely busy to a point, you know, you can't see friends, family, things like that. Or do we stay where we are, where life is good and live the dream and, you know, stay employed. That's kind of what I'm toying with. But I feel like everyone in this industry at one point or another toys with that idea what to do. But I mean, yeah, I mean, working here with Bally Sports Ohio has been great. Everyone is wonderful and treats you like a human being and is kind. And I've been impressed by everyone that I've worked with, how cool everyone is, which
Hold
is
on,
rare.
Everyone?
Everyone.
Wow. I can't say the sit now.
I beg to differ. No, but I mean, everyone's just so much fun to work with and is having a good time. Granted, this season has been tough, especially in the beginning, but
yeah,
we're still making
rough.
TV.
It was a little rough. We'll just leave it at that. It was a little rough. We were finding other things to talk about. Let's take you down on the farm and talk about Ellie De La Cruz, because he's really good.
Who's still having a great season, by the way.
yes, he is. So, so what are your aspirations? Are you going to start a family someday? I mean, the hubby's
eventually.
Is a professional golfer. I mean, did we mention that he's? I mean, he's a professional. When I said he's a golfer, a lot of people are like, "Well, so am I."
Right, right.
Dude's a professional golfer.
Right. He's not on the PGA Tour. He's on the Korn Ferry Tour, mm-hmm. which, for all the baseball fans listening out there, is kind of the equivalent of AAA baseball.
Right.
So if you finish in a certain amount of points at the end of the year, then you make it up to the PGA Tour. So we'll see how that goes. He's always traveling too, which is always fun. I mean, when I'm not here, I'm usually on the golf course with him with our 15-pound dog, who I named Corona, by the way, prior to the virus outbreak. So that was great timing by us. Yeah. But yeah, he actually is a pro golfer and is doing a great job. So yeah, I mean, a family in the future would be great. But I think right now we have the dog. We have our two nephews in Florida. We're both grinding it out at our mm-hmm. respective careers, and we'll see where it goes.
Yeah. You caddied for him, did you not?
Yeah,
did I see that on social media?
Yeah, I did.
You caddied for him?
It was just a pro-am, though, so I only had to do 9 holes. And it was a lighter bag because, you know, during these tournaments, they have
the
bags that weigh, oh, my gosh,
yeah.
close to, I mean, probably 60, 70
pounds.
Yeah, it's
like Rodney Dangerfield in Caddyshack. That's before your time. But
I've seen that movie, yeah.
But, yeah.
And I said I was not going to do that. So I caddied with a lighter bag for 9 holes. That was fine. I've done it for my dad, actually.
Your
before,
dad's
once or
a
twice.
Really good golfer.
He is, and he's getting back into it as he is officially retired now. He golfs every day down in Florida and is looking forward to golfing with my husband eventually. But, yeah, caddy profession, not for me. Can I do it? Yes. If someone wants to pay me to do it, of course I'll carry your bag for 18 holes.
Now, were you giving him yardage and all that?
Or no.
He was doing his own yardage?
He was doing that. I know the different clubs, so I can give him whatever club he needs. But yardage and stuff, no, that is not my forte. I leave it to the professionals. I will just walk 18 holes, most likely have a cocktail or a cold beer, and cheer him on.
Very, very nice. What's the cocktail drink of choice?
On the golf course, it's usually lighter. Like, I don't know, like a vodka cran or vodka lemonade, just to keep it light.
Very nice.
Not a dark beer. I mean, beer's too heavy. Post-round, we usually have a couple beers. There's a Korn Ferry Tour truck at the end of every round. They drive it to each tournament, and inside it's super cool. They collect all these stickers from all the cities they've been to and different professional football teams they visited, colleges. But there's always a cooler in the Korn Ferry Tour truck. So we do help ourselves post-round.
What a country this is.
Right.
That's just beautiful. That's Americana at its best.
And golf, that's what we love.
Yes. No question. And baseball, Americana as well. And being the daughter of Chris Sabo, we're going to talk all about it. We'll do that after this.
It's knowing that your door is always open and your path is free to walk.
Life can throw a lot at us, but through all the ups and downs, your financial future will be ever gentle on your mind with Weston and Southern. From life insurance to investments, our one-on-one guidance is customized for your needs today and in the future. Western and Southern, life insurance, retirement, and investments. Visit westernsouthern.com/restassured to get started today.
Ever smiling, never gentle on my mind.
Jim Day here. I've teamed up with Swift to bring you the sounds of summer. And the sounds of summer. With the freshest selection of cuts, from ribeyes to chops, Swift keeps this going all season long. Baseball and grilling. Ask for Swift Meats at your local grocer.
Good food, good moments. One great meal. Come together with Swift.
All right, we're back with Sabo. We're tight like that now. I can just call you Sabo.
You can always Sabes. Call me that.
Sabes. Spudzette.
People did call me that.
Spudzette. Little Spuds. I like Little Spuds. All right. Your dad. I love your dad, by the way.
Thank you. We do too.
But unusual character. That's, you know, that's, he would probably say the same thing. He's very unique. And did that transcend to being a unique dad?
You know what? In some ways, yes. In other ways, no. I mean, I think my dad still has some of the best one-liners of all time. Can I think of one right now? No. But it's just, you know, when you're in a casual conversation with him, and if you say something, his one-liner back is just unbelievable, because it often leaves people not knowing how to respond or what to say to him. So that's always funny, because, I mean, we grew up with it, so we're used to it. But right. When other people meet our dad for the first time, it's usually quite comical. I think my sister's boyfriend's going to meet my dad for the first time coming up. And, oh, my gosh, we're getting the popcorn ready. It is going to be electric. Oh, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, there's so many unique stories. I mean, growing up, I grew up with two younger sisters. So there were three girls in the household. If someone started crying, my dad immediately out of the house, gone.
Just left. Couldn't handle the crying?
Could not handle it. Granted, my mom is a champion, and she handled it. But when it comes to crying, tears, dad always gone. But no, he was a great father. Inspired my career.
Really?
Now, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you know, obviously, if you're not going to be involved in sports as far as playing mm-hmm. or playing professionally, sports broadcasting is an arm of that. So he like you at a young age,
yeah.
You weren't kidding. You wanted to be a sports broadcaster?
Kind of. So when I was really young, though, I loved Mia Hamm, the soccer player, and I really, truly thought I was going to be a pro soccer player. That was the goal. That's what I wanted to do forever. Then as I progressed in my career, got too many concussions in soccer, and then kind of transitioned to tennis, which I still love dearly to this day. Didn't really know what I was going to do around 10 or 11 years old. Of course, in my family, everything's so planned out, and perfectionism is kind of a trait that runs in our household. So I was trying to figure out what I was going to do. And we were sitting on the couch one day watching a Bengals game. Who they were playing, I have no idea. But Aaron Andrews came on screen and doing the sideline reporting thing. And my dad was like, so casually, nonchalantly, hey, Annie, why don't you do that? And I was like,
he just threw that out there?
Just yeah. And I never really thought about that. And I was like, okay. And that was it. Like, it wasn't like, oh, I always wanted to grow up and be a sports reporter or on TV. It was just kind of sitting on the couch one day in Cincinnati, my dad saying, yeah, why don't you give that a go? And I said, all righty then, let's do it. And then, you know, my dreams kind of took off from there. We didn't have any programs for sports broadcasting in high school. I went to Ursuline Academy. I know high schools are huge in Cincinnati, so that's where I went, in Blue Ash. We didn't have that when I went to school, but I went to Michigan and did
went
the whole broadcasting.
Where?
I know. I went to Michigan. My sister went to Ohio State.
You're not allowed
State,
to say
though.
That word on this podcast.
I know.
It's a school up north.
Okay, fair enough. The school up north, which I loved, by the way. And got my reps.
Like
learned
father,
everything.
Like daughter.
Exactly. He went there and grew up going to Michigan games. So the dream school for me. Barely got in. Don't know how I got in. But worked really hard in high school.
Because they looked and this at Sabo. Sabo, let's see, is she related to Chris?
Oh, I don't know about that. Everyone Chris was a genius there, and I was hanging on by a thread in those classes. But no, it was a great experience. But yeah, I mean, never really dreamed of being a sports broadcaster very young. But then come 10, 11 years old, sitting on the couch, dad say, do that. And I said, okay, sounds good. And then it turns out I'm somewhat decent at it, still employed. So
hey, yeah, you're climbing the ladder, as you said.
Now,
I'm looking up your dad's stats.
Uh-huh.
898 hits, one haircut.
still has it. He turned 60 this year. I have never known my dad to have any other haircut. Although, in our house now in Florida, we have this vintage photo of him playing for Michigan. He has, like, the most magnificent bowl cut you could ever imagine.
Really?
Maybe we'll have to circulate that.
Like a Pete Rose bowl cut type?
Yes. Oh, it was long hair, and my mom didn't know my dad back then, but we still have a photo of it. So he did at one point in his life.
Why is this photo not public?
I don't know. Maybe I should ask him about that. But, yes, he did have long hair.
Might have to ask permission on that one.
Yeah. I think he'll think it's funny. He won't care. He doesn't do social media, so if I asked him to do something, he'd be like, yeah, why not? Throw it out there.
Could you imagine him on social media?
No, absolutely not.
Would people drive him crazy?
Yes, and I honestly don't even think he'd know how to work it. I mean, my mom just learned Instagram within the last year just to follow my sisters and I. Doesn't know how to do anything else on it. But they don't do Twitter. My mom's the only one who has an Instagram. I think my siblings tried to make my dad an Instagram once, and that lasted for maybe 24 hours. And he was like, the heck with this. This is the dumbest thing ever. I'm out. So, yeah, they're social media-less parents. They do watch the broadcasts on Valley Sports Ohio. They like watching that. But, I mean, social media, they're not into it. And thank God, because I don't think my dad would be very good at it.
What is your dad like at the dinner table?
That is a great question. It depends. He actually is a very good cook. Growing up, he's the cook in the family.
Really?
Yeah, I am not a good cook.
That was my next question.
I'm not a good cook. Neither is my mom. My dad is actually a fabulous cook, and he loves to cook for us all the time, especially for holidays like Thanksgiving, Christmas. We always hosted those events, and he would make the most delicious meals every single time. He still does it to this day. Whenever we go home to Florida, really? He'll cook for my siblings, my husband and I, and it's always a great meal. He does a great beef tenderloin at Christmas time. It's unbelievable. He's the cook in the family, so he's usually pretty chatty at dinner. But, I mean, he was so outnumbered when we were younger. It's me who's super chatty, then my sister Brooke, who is also very chatty, and then Olivia, the youngest, is the most quiet, but she's still, I mean, at the dinner table, everyone's going a million miles per hour talking about things. So my dad's more quiet at the dinner table, although if he has a funny story, he'll bring it in. But he's more, I'm making the food, it's going to be great. And then we compliment my dad on how great his food is. Because it truly is delicious. He's a great cook.
He was so intense as a player and so locked in. I can imagine him being that cooking. Like, he's just totally locked in and a complete perfectionist.
Oh, yeah. This past Christmas, we had about 20 people over. And it was the first Christmas. I got married this past December, early December. It was the first Christmas we had with both families.
Still a newlywed.
Yeah, yeah. And he was so excited to cook for everyone. And the beef tenderloin was a 10 out of 10, but he still thinks he overcooked it. He was, he apologizes for it. Not apologizes, but still talks about to this day. I'm going to get Christmas 2023, or this upcoming Christmas. He was like, the beef tenderloin is going to be even better.
Come on. He's still fretting over it?
Yes.
That sounds so Chris Sabo.
And it was so good. Everyone was complimenting him how great the beef tenderloin was and how all the sides were. And he thought it wasn't cooked enough.
I'm sure there are at-bats that he still frets over to this day in his career.
Oh, I'm sure.
That he
I'm
can't
sure.
believe he didn't get a hit off a such and such pitcher or made an error in this situation or whatever. He frets over the beef tenderloin
yeah,
at Christmas.
The beef tenderloin. And it was lovely. So good. We ate it for days and we were like, what are you talking about? This was delicious. And everyone, but this upcoming Christmas, it's all he's been talking about, how it has to be even better than the last Christmas, the beef tenderloin.
Gosh.
We're like, all right. I mean, I don't know what to say because it was perfect before. But yeah, he takes his cooking very seriously, takes his golf game very seriously.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Comes home from a golf round. If you played well, great mood. If you played poorly, watch out.
Now, have you ever golfed with him?
No.
Have you been on the course with him?
I've been on the course with him,
I'm wondering how many clubs he throws.
You know what? He's actually very, for how intense that he is, he's very calm on the golf course, believe
really?
It or not. Just when he comes home, you can just, wherever his mood is, that's how you gauge how good the golf round was.
I love it. I love it. But he hasn't changed a bit. I love that.
No, he is the same, and he's been the same my entire life. I don't foresee him changing ever, but he keeps it together pretty well on the golf course. I think the only thing I think that he wishes he could still do is run and play. We love pickleball, playing tennis. He can't really do that anymore. That's the only thing I feel like he would really love to do. But, I mean, the golf game is good at age 60 currently. He's meeting new friends down in Florida and playing with the...
Chris Sabo, the socialite.
I don't know if I'd go that far. But he comes home the other day, and my mom and I were sitting at the dinner table, and he said that he was playing the club pro at whatever country club down in Florida, and he beat the club pro. So that was a huge thing. That made the whole week.
Yes.
That made the whole week. And so, yeah, he still is a great golfer, but still extremely competitive and intense, and nothing's changed.
Wow.
Granted, I'm very similar to my dad. I am very intense. And
really?
I am.
You don't seem like it.
I don't seem like it.
Are you just putting on it because you're still in the honeymoon phase of this job? Are we going to see? Maybe. Are we going to see some beast next year? Like all of a sudden, wow, Annie changed.
No. I just think I am quietly intense. Sports-wise, I'm very competitive. Yeah. My husband and I play pickleball consistently. If he beats me, I don't speak for at least an hour, and I need a little reprieve. On our honeymoon, we played tennis one day. We were in Asheville, North Carolina, and he was like, let's go get some exercise and play tennis. And I was like, okay. My husband is also very good at everything that he tries. And I'm like, you can't let me win in one thing. And so we're playing tennis, and he beat me. And I don't know why that day. I was so mad. I don't know why. But I didn't speak. You can ask him about this whenever he does come to Cincinnati. I did not speak for an hour because I had to cool off. At a casual tennis game.
You are spuds at that.
I am. Not on TV as much, but in my personal life and competitive things. I'm very competitive with myself as well.
I think you need to show this side of you to Sam LeCure and just go off on Sam.
I feel like I've said things a couple times.
Really? Because yeah. he's one that can, he dishes it out a little bit. I don't know if you've noticed.
He does. I feel like I've come back with a few one-liners and there.
I've been at the brunt of that for many, many years. He just comes right at me.
Yeah. Oh, I think he's come at me a couple times too. There was one thing, the funniest story on the air, that we were playing some graphic or something, and it was a preview of the Reds All Access show, and it said Kyle Farmer and Granny. For some reason, I don't know why or what was going through my head. I thought Granny was like a nickname for someone. Like, I don't know why Curtis Granderson just came into my head, but I thought it was a nickname for something. And I was like, very seriously, who's Granny? And Sam was like, you don't know who Granny is? And I'm like, he's like, it's his grandma. And I was like, well, I thought it was like some nickname for someone. I don't know. I mean, that's the funny. Obvious answer, but I'm thinking like, okay, this has to be like a cooler story than what it really is. It's Curtis Granderson or some guy with a last name that they call him Granny. I don't know. And that's what I thought. So sometimes in the middle of shows, he'll be like, okay, Granny, because that's the joke of the season so far. I didn't know who Granny was.
Well, you're going to get the wrath of Granny now because Granny checks in with me often.
Oh, wow.
I'm a few text messages behind. She's going to rip me here. Oh, yeah. We exchanged the digits there and she just is not. So she's like the biggest fan ever and she is just a southern jewel and she's a piece of work.
I can't wait to meet her one day.
She's a piece of work. Get ready. Sort of like meeting your dad in some way.
Yeah, it's always...
It's always...
For new people especially, it's entertaining for us.
Yeah.
Because they don't know, like I said, how to respond or if he's joking or if he's not joking. Should I laugh? Yeah. Should I not laugh? I'm not really sure. And then my sisters and I are just chuckling in the background because we know how he is. And it's, more times than not, a total joke. But he says it so seriously, you're just not sure what to do.
Wow. Well, let's talk more about the sense of humor of one Chris Sabo.
It actually is very great. He has great stories and really funny stories, some that I probably couldn't say on the podcast about his baseball career. But I feel like there's always a new story every single day, and it's entertaining.
Well, he's known as many things, but a lot of people probably don't know or didn't know that he's Chris Sabo, girl dad.
He is. # girl dad. Yeah, myself, two younger sisters, and at one point we did have a female dog, Sophie Sabo. If you ask my dad, he'll say, She's dead now. Like, we begged him for this dog forever, and then he finally agreed to let us have this dog. And now, you know, he still mourns the loss of one Sophie Sabo, who was the greatest dog ever, but loved that dog.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so he's got a soft side.
Loves all dogs. He is a big dog person. That's his soft spot. Any dog. And dogs love my dad. There's not one dog on this planet who does not love my dad, believe it or not.
Oh, I could completely see that. Now, does Chris Sabo, did he change diapers? That question we'll ask right after this.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Sabo is still laughing over here because of the thought of, does Chris Sabo change diapers? So what was it? Was he that type of dad, or was that mom too? Or was that, you said earlier that when someone was crying, he would leave the house. So when someone went number two, was he out the door?
You know what? I don't necessarily know the answer to that question, but based on what I know about my childhood, my answer is that he did help my mom whenever he was home. I mean, granted, during my dad's career, I was, for the most part, the only sibling alive during the early days or post 90 World Series. I was born 92, so my mom took me everywhere to home series, road series. I lived on the road. I developed a love for ballpark food. That's my favorite food group, easily.
Come on, really?
Yeah,
just
seriously.
Because of the childhood and
traveling
around? I don't
know. Around? You know, I attribute my love of stadium food to maybe growing up on it, because my mom, to keep me quiet, would give me hot dogs, soft pretzels, and popcorn.
Is that your go-to hot, getting a dog?
Oh, I love a good hot dog. I love Skyline. I love soft pretzels, popcorn, peanuts, you name it. I will eat it.
Yeah. Now, when I lived in Tampa, I had to, I don't know if it's still down there, but they had a Skyline in Clearwater, I think it was.
Oh, yeah,
Clearwater.
They still do.
Is it still there?
Yeah, and my parents live in Lakewood Ranch, which is Sarasota area currently. Yeah. There's one there, too. They're popping up everywhere.
Really? Because I used to go to the one in Clearwater all the time. People are like, what are you going clear there for? I'm like, get Skyline.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. So, yeah, there's one in Lakewood Ranch, too, now, which is great news for us whenever we visit Mom and Dad. Go through the Skyline drive-thru, get my cheese conies, and I'm a happy camper.
Well, so you have memories of your dad playing? Were you too young?
No, I was too young. I don't have memories of him actually playing on the baseball field. Mm-hmm. However, I do remember going to, I believe, it was Riverfront prior to Great American.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always get that mixed up in my head. Mental block there. But I remember my mom dropping me off. It was like, it wasn't a kids camp, but it was an area where players could drop off their kids. The moms could go watch the game and have fun with each other. And we kind of had like babysitters in a playroom kind of thing. I do remember going there before home games and having a blast because they fed us Doritos and we got to color and play with blocks. And I would always befriend whoever had the food. If there's Doritos or anything, I'm your friend for the day. I do remember that. And I remember different cities that we lived in, St. Louis. I don't remember Baltimore as much, and I don't remember Chicago. But I do remember that playroom. So whoever built that playroom, I loved it. Oh, and I do remember when Marge Schott was here in Cincinnati, my parents taking me up to her office with the huge dogs.
Oh, yeah.
Petting the dogs. And she gave me a Barbie, a brand new Barbie. And I thought it was the greatest day of my life. That's
really
a memory that I so vividly remember because I was just so happy. But I don't remember my dad's actual playing days or watching my dad play, unfortunately.
Well, that's all right. How many times growing up in Cincinnati, though, his speech after they won in 1990 was an unbelievable thing. And is that brought up over the years?
It's brought up a lot. I think that's one of the biggest compliments that he gets. I mean, growing up, my dad would take me to Bengals games, and they would say, "We got the ring, we got the money, Spuds, great speech." And
no one ever gave us a chance, and we beat in the fourth straight, and we got the ring, we got the money, we got everything. Thank you.
Wow, that was like so good. That was so good. Yes. And my mom has showed us that video countless times, and we think it's just so funny because my dad looks so young, and we always like to make fun of my mom. We don't know why, but sometimes she can't remember everything, or she's clumsy, or we'll say a story completely wrong about my dad's playing career. My dad will be like, "What do you mean? That's not right." And so we just imagine my dad saying the speech, and my mom's in the crowd, and we just like just imagine my mom going crazy. I don't know why that's so humorous to my siblings and I, but it just is. My mom's a great mom, and my mom and my dad were perfectly together. My mom's very social and outgoing, and my dad, you know, is not very social and outgoing, just very reserved and to himself. But yeah, the speech is brought up a lot. We've seen it so many times, and it's funny every single time.
It is, and never gets old.
No, it doesn't. And,
one of the great moments.
And I will say, I know that speech was rather short, but my dad is not very good one-on-one. Like, if he were to sit down and do this interview, it would not be great.
Yeah.
But his speech-making abilities to large crowds, wonderful. He's so good at that.
Really?
Yeah, and I don't know why.
Really?
Yeah. One-on-one, not good. But I mean, like, if he goes to colleges and talks about baseball or whatever it may be, he's wonderful at that. Wow. Wonderful.
Wow.
I don't think I would be good at that. I love my job, but I don't think I'd be very good at giving a speech to hundreds of people. I don't know. Do you think, is that a strength of yours?
I don't know if I have any strengths, really, but...
You have so many. You've been employed for 22 years.
It's longer than that. I used to work in local news before that. And, I guess so. I mean, I've spoken to large crowds, and I've hosted things on the field here, which are in front of sold-out crowds. I don't know if it's a strength necessarily, but...
Or do you enjoy that?
Really depends on the event.
Right. It depends on the event, but I mean, I can be on live TV, but I feel like I wouldn't necessarily be jumping up at the opportunity to make a speech to thousands. I don't know.
I just try to be myself, which is dorky, and just kind of roll with
it. That's the key to everything in life, in this career.
To be dorky or to be yourself?
To be yourself, however you may be.
Well, I'm in the nerd club. I'm very self-aware, so I just roll on with it. So was your dad the disciplinarian, or was it your mom?
A little bit of both. If we got in really big trouble, my mom would make us go to our room or something of that nature. And then when my dad got home, it was like that was the big punishment to determine how long we'd be missing something or how long we wouldn't be able to go out, go see our friends or whatever. So it was just kind of like waiting until Dad got home, and everyone was just like shaking. Like,
really?
Oh no, what's Dad going to say?
Oh boy.
So it was a little bit of both. I mean, I would like to say my parents were strict in the most part of raising us, but not like normal things. Like, for example, if we went to an event and I didn't speak to everyone in the room as a 10-year-old, my parents would be like, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "I don't know, I'm 10. I have to speak to everyone in the room, what?" But at the same time, I'm thankful for that, because if it weren't for them, I probably wouldn't be the same person I am today and doing what I do.
Could you imagine your dad having a son?
I don't know. We talk about this sometimes. I don't know if they'd be able to survive. Because, I mean, even my dad watching our tennis matches, he would be behind a bush or, like, behind a tree.
Really?
Because he'd get so nervous and be so into the tennis matches. And I remember one time we were watching one of my sisters play tennis, and their opponents went up to my sister Brooke and was like, "Who's that weird guy, like, hiding behind a bush?" And Brooke goes, "Oh, yeah, that's my dad." And so I think because he's just so competitive in everything that he does and wants us to do so well and whatever we want to do in life, sports were a little tough on him just because he was so into our tennis matches specifically. Having a son, I don't know. how that would have gone, because he never pushed us into softball. That's a question I get asked all the time. Did you play softball? No, I didn't. Did your dad tell you to play softball? No. He was like, whatever you want to do, I don't care. Do it.
Right.
But yeah, never played softball, but I don't think my dad would have pushed a son into baseball if he didn't want to do it.
Right.
But if he were to choose baseball, I feel like that would have been them two butting heads a lot.
Yeah. No, I could totally see that.
Yeah.
Probably better these girl dad.
Yeah.
Because
we played sports. We grew up playing sports.
Sounds like you guys have a wonderful family, so.
We do. I just think back in the day, if we would have had a reality show growing up, it would have been hysterical. Because you see the Terry Bradshaw reality show in this day and age, and I find it hilarious. But I'm like, that could have been us way back in the day.
You know what? That is a great idea. You could probably still do it. I mean, he's still an unusual guy, and now society is so different. And, like, you know, set up a day where, okay, all right, Dad, we're going to do social media today. That could be a whole episode right
there. Oh, my gosh. That would be, it's so funny. And, yeah, I mean, there's so many things that go on in our household every single day that are just so funny. My sisters and I laugh constantly and make for great television. Would my parents sign up for that or be okay with that? Probably not. And my sisters would probably be like, I don't want to do it. But I still think it'd be great content for anyone who wanted to tune in.
Yeah. Wow. Or sending him to get a different hairdo.
That would be
a whole nother episode.
Trying some wigs.
Grow his hair out.
Yeah.
Yeah, like really long. And oh,
like a mullet?
Oh. Yeah, he's a product of the 80s. I'm surprised he didn't have the mullet. He had the complete bowl cut.
Yeah.
By the way,
like,
you have to bring this picture out.
I'll have to when I go home to Florida.
This has to happen. I need to see this picture.
I will send it to you personally.
And, yeah, but I need permission from him to air it.
Oh, he wouldn't care.
Because in my life, it doesn't really happen unless I put it on TV.
That's fair. Okay. It doesn't exist. Exactly. There is no privacy in this career. What is privacy anymore?
Exactly. Well, these pictures of other people. Like, people try to get pictures of me. I'm like, not a chance. Yeah. No way. No, they're trying to do a segment on me with facial hair during the shutdown of COVID. I'm like, no way. I'm not
sharing
those.
That was going to be
those.
A segment? The facial hair
Yeah,
growth?
Sadak's trying to do a segment because I took these. I grew out, you know, it took me forever, but I grew out a beard.
Uh-huh.
And then when I got rid of it, I creatively, like, shaved it down to a goatee, and then I did like the Fu Manchu, and then I had like a soul patch, and then I had just the stash. So I took pictures of each stage, and they are awful.
It was like a metamorphosis of facial
pictures.
Hair. I need to go look this up now all my spare time.
Yeah, no, that's why. Exactly. See, you can't, because I have not released these to the world.
Oh,
I don't
no.
want someone to click on it and say, oh, there, you know. There'll be so many clicks because they're so bad that that'll be the first thing that shows up. You'll Google my name and all of a sudden this mustache pic shows up. It'll be terrible.
Granted, that was the biggest thing during quarantine, I feel like. How weird you could make your facial hair
look
as a man.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I don't suffer from that, so I couldn't participate.
It took me forever. It took forever to do the facial hair thing.
But yes, I will go home, get that photo for you. And
yes.
And we can air it with the Chris Sabo haircut that is a little bit different. So he would have been, 21, 22?
Pick some anniversary, his birthday or something. When's his birthday?
January.
Ah, see, that's not
I know.
The season.
I do believe he's coming here in September for something.
Really?
Reds related. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But maybe it could be used in September.
There we go.
Something to keep the viewers hanging on.
Got to set these goals. Well, this has been a wonderful visit. It is. I got to turn you loose because you've got to actually do some work.
I do.
Be hosting Reds Live down there with the Crazies, where I used to be. And so you got to prepare for that. You got to put up with Chris Welsh tonight, which is a task amongst itself. You should get time and a half for that.
Yeah, the Crazies. I wouldn't call them Crazies. They just have so much energy that sometimes I wish I had at all hours of the day.
Yeah,
I'm a high-energy person, but the people around the set, next level.
Yeah.
And I want that for myself at all times.
Well, I hosted it for so many years that I would go home and I would hear this in my sleep.
Yeah!
Took them like, they put up the drink rail, took them like 2 innings to realize, we can beat on this thing. I'm done.
You wake up in cold sweats.
Yeah,
nightmare.
I'll be like waking up like, So anytime someone beats on something, I'm like, stop.
But I quite enjoy it.
It's all good. The energy of Red's country, and it's still alive and well, and you are very much a part of it now. Sabo.
Thank you. Well, thank you for having me. It's a great podcast. Yeah. Tune in all the time.
Oh, some people do.
I do.
But thank you very much. I appreciate it. Now I'm going to call you Sabo from here on out because we are tight like that now.
Yeah. By all means. That's my nickname.
You can check her out, Red's Live, pre and post, along with Brian Giesenslaw along the way, the curmudgeon Sam LeCure. The jerk, Chris. No, I'm kidding, folks. People are probably going to take me seriously. We all get along.
No one's a jerk. Everyone's cool.
Love those guys. Love those guys. Not that LeCure would listen to this anyways. Certainly not Welsh.
I highly doubt it, but if he's listening, we love you, Sam.
We love you, both of you, Sam and Chris. Most of the time. She is Annie Sabo, and she just made her Gym Day podcast debut. My life is now fulfilled.
Woohoo! My life, I can check it off the bucket list.
Yeah, whatever. We will have you back in the future, my friend.
Sounds good.
All right, thanks for hanging out with us, folks. Again, spread the word, subscribe, and review. And we will see you next time here on the Gym Day podcast. Baseball prison.